It's been 2 weeks after worshiping in the 85 degree weather for 2 weeks. It's good to be back in the 30s with you. Quite a difference. I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 11 this morning. Verses 8 through 11 of Exodus 20. Let us give attention to the reading of the law of our God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. So we come once again to the fourth commandment. A couple weeks ago, we looked at what the fourth commandment requires. And I talked a little bit about how important it is that we see the Lord's Day as a gift from God to us, as a blessing, not as a burden. And as we come to what the fourth commandment forbids, what we ought not to do, as it pertains to the Sabbath and the Lord's Day, we want to remember some important things. So remember how we read from Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. In that particular passage, we see how the redemption of God is connected to the Sabbath itself. So if you look at Deuteronomy 5, 15, it says, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So what do we observe there? We observe that the fourth commandment, like all the commandments, is given to a liberated people. A people that have been made free through the redemption of God. And therefore, we must see it in light of that freedom that God has given us. So what is forbidden in the fourth commandment? We have the shorter catechism, question 61, that says this. The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. So it's pretty simple. All this means is when we do not dedicate the Lord's Day to worship and to rest, we break the fourth commandment. That's the simple way to put it. But then people want to ask, well, what sort of things don't contribute to worship and rest? What is not worship and what is not rest? And when dealing with sins of the fourth commandment, we have that danger of becoming over-specific. Like I said last time, our tendency to become lawyers is particularly acute when it comes to the fourth commandment. So we have to be careful. And we know how often the Pharisees got in trouble with our Lord in the Gospels because of their handling of this commandment. We don't want to be joining them in our Lord's condemnation. To give you some examples of how over-specific one could get, I'll point you to the Mishnah, which is a Jewish document from the 3rd century, so a little after the time of Christ. But many of the items in it seem to already be practiced in the time of Jesus. So it's a pretty good reflection of probably what the Pharisees and others were already practicing and teaching. So one particular chapter I found in the Mishnah prohibits a number of activities on the Sabbath. I'll read these off to you, and shortly you should get the picture. What is prohibited on the Sabbath is sowing, plowing, reaping, binding sheaves, threshing, winnowing, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, shearing wool, washing wool, beating wool, dyeing wool, spinning, weaving, making 2 loops, 2 threads, separating 2 threads, tying, untying, I have more, sewing, stitches, tearing, trapping, slaughtering, flaying, tanning, scraping hide, marking hides, cutting hide to shape, writing 2 or more letters, erasing 2 or more letters, building, demolishing, extinguishing a fire, kindling a fire, putting the finishing touch on an object. I always wondered what that looked like. transporting an object between a private domain and the public domain, or for a distance of 4 cubits within the public domain. So you see, once we get into that level of specificity, you're asking the question, where did they get this? Why is it 2? Why not 3? Why is it not 4? How do we determine these things? And of course, once we do this sort of thing, we get into the danger of misapplying this commandment. And I think it's more helpful to us, it is more beneficial if we focus on what are we supposed to be doing, right? Going back to the previous exhortation, what are we supposed to be doing on the Lord's Day? If we're spending our time doing those things, then we're not going to have to worry as much about doing the lawyer thing and trying to make a list. So the things that are forbidden in the fourth commandment, I've boiled down into 2 different items here for simplicity's sake. The first one is neglecting worship. The Lord's Day is meant to be a day of worship for us. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus 23, already there is a connection between the rest on the Sabbath and the gathering and assembling of the people of God on the Sabbath. So Leviticus 23, verse 3, very important verse. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So not only is it a day of rest, but it is a day of convocation where the people gather for the purposes of corporate worship. And we see that reflected also in the New Testament when they would gather on the first day of the week and they would spend their time in fellowship, in public worship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Okay, so neglecting worship, first item that it is forbidden of us to do. Secondly, we are to rest on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is meant to be a time of spiritual and physical rest for us. And our Lord, in his disputes with the Pharisees, told us something very important about the Sabbath. I think it's a very essential principle for how we understand this day. And you remember in Mark 2 when the disciples were going through the fields and they were plucking the grain and the Pharisees got angry about them plucking the grain because as you can see from the list I read you, that was forbidden. You weren't supposed to be doing that. And Jesus told us this in Mark 2, 27 and 28. He said this to the Pharisees. He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So in verse 28, he establishes his authority over the Sabbath. I get to determine how this day is run. But in verse 27, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is, the Sabbath was not instituted for us to slave and toil to keep it, but rather it was given as a benefit to us. It was made for our benefit. And our Lord said this when the Pharisees rebuked the disciples because the disciples were hungry. They needed to eat something. And they weren't engaging in some giant harvest here. It wasn't work. They just needed a snack, right? We all need a snack on the Sabbath, or a little bit more, hopefully, usually. But they weren't working. They needed to eat. And Jesus rebukes the disciples because they misapplied this commandment and made the Sabbath not for man, but made man work for the Sabbath. So the principle is this, the Sabbath was made for man. It is meant to be a blessing. It's meant to make man's life easier, better, not more difficult. It's to be refreshing, a time of restoration and recreation. The Sabbath rest is a rest that is helpful to you. And this is the perspective we should have when it comes to physical resting and spiritual resting on the Lord's Day. It's not just that we can't work on our regular daily work, but the better way to look at it is that we get a break from our regular daily work. It's a commanded break, and a very important break that we need. Because we're such busy people, we're trying to do so much during the week in so little time. The Lord's Day is a rest that we desperately need. In this busy age of information, you can always find something more to do and look at. But that's the last thing we need on the Lord's Day. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you to embrace the Lord's Day as a blessing, as a benefit to you. It is a time of refreshment, a time of joy. And I think it's helpful for each of us to consider, what are some things that we can do to make the day even more enjoyable than it already is? There's a number of different things that one might do. Certainly preparing food the day before might be helpful to you to find it more restful. There was one OPC pastor in our presbytery mentioned to me another pastor's family he knows that every Lord's Day, every Sunday, they go out and get an ice cream sundae. It's like, you get a sundae on a sundae. That sounds pretty good. But you get to enjoy this day. It's not a day that you can't enjoy the creation of God and the gifts of God. You get to worship and you get to enjoy these things that God has given you, such as ice cream. But each of us should consider how we can find more enjoyment in this day and what we can do to encourage that enjoyment, to enliven that enjoyment of this day. So the fourth commandment, it forbids us from neglecting the worship and the rest that God has prescribed in his word for our own benefit. So then, therefore, let us embrace the blessings of this commandment and find delight in the worship of God and the rest that he has given us this day. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, forgive us for neglecting the Lord's Day. Forgive us because we have so often neglected your worship and have not been willing to cease from our labors and our entertainments. We pray that you forgive us for valuing the wrong things. Forgive us for not valuing what you have said is important. We do ask that you would give us each a love for the Lord's Day and give us an anticipation for the time that we have to spend together. Give us an anticipation to come before you and that we would be, as the psalmist says, as a hart or as a deer that pants for the living water that we receive when we come before you. And give us a desire to rest and to focus on you this day and in all the Lord's days that you have appointed for us ahead. And now we do take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.